Well, have you ever prayed for something and received the thing that you asked for? Have you ever prayed for something but you didn't get it? Does it ever make you wonder why? Or more specifically, do you ever wonder why you didn't get what you prayed for? I mean, nobody really asks God, why did you give me the thing that I asked for? Well, please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 to get started. It's easy to wonder why God says no to our prayers. What if God doesn't rescue you from a trial? What if God doesn't heal someone you've been praying for? What if you prayed every day for a year and never got an answer from God? At least not the answer that you were hoping for. Does that ever leave you wondering, why did I pray for that? Did it even do any good? Matthew 6 and verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him." If God knows what you need before you ask for it, then why ask? What's the point? The truth is, it's good for us to ask. There is a point, and it goes far beyond whether or not you and I get the thing that we want. There are benefits that you and I receive when we ask God for things, and they're not necessarily dependent on getting a yes or a no from God. So today, let's take a closer look at five reasons we should take our requests to God. Reason number one, we are told to ask. We are told to ask. Now, to start looking at this point, let's continue reading in Matthew 6, and we'll go through verses 9 through 12. Now, it's interesting that this comes after Jesus says not to use vain repetition, because many people believe and teach that repeating these exact words over and over again is exactly what you're supposed to do. Matthew 6 and verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's an easy one to forget. "On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, this follows right on the heels of Christ saying, God already knows what you need. Now, if there are two things that God knows we need, it's food and forgiveness. But Christ told his disciples to ask for them when they pray. Note also that this doesn't say weekly bread or monthly bread. Clearly, the implication is that we are supposed to ask God to feed us every day. Jesus Christ says ask, and ask regularly. I think we're all very aware that we need to ask for forgiveness on a regular basis. We just need to be sure that we're not just going through the motions. Just because we say something over and over again doesn't mean God will grant our request. Please turn to James chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3. Now, Jesus Christ gave instructions to ask God for things. But before doing so, he warned that there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And his brother, James, does the same thing here. James 4, verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You do not have because you do not ask. If we don't ask God for something, then we shouldn't expect to receive it. If it's not important enough to ask our Father for it, then maybe it's not important enough for him to give it to us. But just because we want something doesn't mean it's good for us or anyone else. If we lust or covet something, it's probably better for us to not get it. We shouldn't assume that to be the case every time we get a no. But we should remember that it's possible for us to ask amiss. We are supposed to ask, go to God and ask him for things. Certainly for the things that we need, and maybe even some of the things that we want. And that leads to my second point. Reason number two, by asking, we acknowledge where things come from. By asking, we acknowledge where things come from. Now, please turn back a couple of pages to James chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 through 17. Now, what is the stereotypical view of God when you compare the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, God was mean in the Old Testament. He was mean and vindictive. He saddled people with these burdensome law that was impossible to keep, and he punished them every time they broke it. Then Jesus Christ came, and he was all about love and mercy. He did away with all those harsh rules and punishment. Never mind the fact that the God at Mount Sinai and Jesus Christ are the same guy. The point is, people have a distorted view of God. And really, they always have. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. God put this temptation in front of me to test me. That must have been the view of some for James to write this. And that's a terrible view of God. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God doesn't give us evil. He doesn't give us sin and say, good luck resisting it. God is the source of every good gift and every perfect gift. He's not sneaky or vindictive, as the Greeks and Romans viewed their gods. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. When we pray to God and request good gifts from him, we acknowledge that he is the source of those good gifts. He is the one who can deliver our requests. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Now, would you like to be on God's good side? Would you like him to be pleased with you? Well, you can do that. You just need to have a little faith. And you need to go to God with your requests. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To go to God and ask him for something, you have to first believe he exists. You have to believe that he can grant your requests. And guess what? He rewards us for diligently coming to him. By asking God for blessings, we acknowledge that he is the source of those blessings. Point number three. Asking can lead us to peace. Asking can lead us to peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Now there are plenty of things to worry about in this world. There's plenty that can keep us up at night. People do crazy things. The world seems to have gone completely mad sometimes, which is all a result of man's rejection of God. But even if we ignore all that, there are still mouths to feed and mortgages to pay. There are demanding bosses to please and sick relatives to care for and worry about. But we can take all of that stuff to God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever had something weighing you down? It could be a bad job situation. Could be a health trial or a money trial. It could be anything. But you get on your knees and you ask God for help. If the weight of the situation is heavy enough, you can even beg God with tears for his blessing, for his deliverance. And by the time you get up off of your knees, everything just feels different. Your circumstances haven't changed in that time that you were praying, and you don't know if they'll change anytime soon, but you just feel lighter. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Do you know how people stand in the face of terrible trials and continue to stand all the way to death sometimes? They can stand because God gives his peace to those who make their request to him. And that peace is far more valuable than even deliverance from a trial. After all, whatever we're going through, none of us is getting out of this life alive. And by the way, did you notice that little caveat in there? With thanksgiving. It's a lot easier to trust God that he will take care of you when you start by thanking him for the things that he's already given you. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7. Now, not every prayer is given on our knees. We stand and pray at the beginning and end of services, for example. God doesn't need us to be on our knees to hear us. But why did Solomon kneel down at the dedication of the temple? Why did Daniel kneel down 3 times a day to pray to God? Why did Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, get down on his knees in the garden to ask God if this cup could pass from him? And why do we get down on our knees to pray to God? We kneel down and we thank God, as it says in Philippians, because it puts us in our place in comparison to the great God that we are about to address. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It takes humility to genuinely ask God for his blessings. By going to God and asking him, we are admitting that we can't do it ourselves. And we're acknowledging that even the things that we can do are only because of his blessing. It says in Deuteronomy 8, God is the one who gives us power to get wealth. Clothed in humility, we can come before God and he will give us grace. You can cast all your care upon him and he will take it. Just making the request of God can bring peace. Point number 4. Asking God for things can make you a better person. Asking God for things can make you a better person. Well, let's go back to the book of James, chapter 1. And this time, we'll read verses 5 through 8. Now, asking God for a Mercedes or $1 million won't make me a better person. And it won't make you a better person either, in case you're wondering. But there are some things that we are specifically told to ask for. And those things will make us better. They can equip us for both this life and the next. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm sure we've all had times when we find ourselves lacking in wisdom. But if we ask God for wisdom, he's happy to give it, liberally. Yes, you and I have to ask in faith. You have to believe that he will give it to you, reinforcing what we read in Hebrews 11. And wisdom can make us better people. Now, wisdom doesn't automatically improve our character. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, but he still had serious character flaws that his wisdom couldn't fix. But he was better with wisdom than he would have been without it. And just a side note to this verse, if we ask God for wisdom and He grants it to us, do you know what that means? It means you're not double-minded or unstable. And that's definitely better. Please turn to Luke chapter 11 and verses 9 through 13. Now, a couple of years ago, I took a class, and the instructor told a story about working for a particular Japanese company. Now, this was back in the days before email, when people had actual inboxes and outboxes on their desks. And it was important to the management of this company that everyone's desk be in order. But my instructor always had a pile of things in his inbox at the end of each day. Well, one day he noticed that his boss's inbox was empty every day when he went home. So my instructor asked his boss, "How do you get your inbox emptied every day?" And his boss said, "At the end of the day, I take anything in my inbox and I throw it in the trash. If it's important, it will come back." So my instructor asked, "Can I do that?" And of course his boss said, "No." God's answers to our prayers are not limited to yes and no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. That's a lesson we can learn from verses 5 through 9 of Luke 11. Sometimes we need to be persistent. If it's not important enough to ask for more than once, then maybe it's not that important. Then again, there are certain things that we can ask for that don't require much persistence. Luke 11 and verse 9. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, I understand this passage a lot better than I used to. This one hits a little close to home now. It's pretty easy to say no to other people's kids. But if I have a chip in my hand, it's nearly impossible to say no when a certain little girl asks for a taste. Now, 9 times out of 10, there's no reason to say no to her request. And I suppose if she asked for a carrot, I couldn't possibly say no, because I know that a carrot is always good for her. But then again, when do I ever have a carrot in my hand? I imagine that's what it's like for God when we ask Him for the Holy Spirit. How could I possibly say no to that? God can't say no to that. Why would He ever want to say no to that? The Holy Spirit will always make us better. It's what gives us power to overcome sin. We need it to have our minds opened to the precious truths of God. The Holy Spirit is what we need to walk just as Jesus Christ walked. And without it, we cannot become sons and daughters of the best Father ever. Now, for the record, there is one person who may have it worse than me. When Haley asks my mom for a taste of her ice cream, there is zero chance that she will say no to that. Now, there are lots of things that we can pray for, and we don't necessarily know if God will say yes or no to our requests. But when you ask for the right things, God will always say yes. And those things will make you a better person. Point number 5. Asking God for things should remind us that we matter to Him. Asking God for things should remind us that we matter to Him. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 11 through 14. Now, this passage is famous. It is perhaps one of the most encouraging passages in the entire Old Testament, maybe even the entire Bible. Nebuchadnezzar had laid siege to Jerusalem and had taken 2 kings and many other people captive. And he took treasures from the temple. A false prophet named Hananiah rose up and told the people that it would all be over in 2 years. But that didn't happen. And Hananiah died less than 1 year later. And Jeremiah sent a letter to those who'd been taken captive to Babylon to let them know that they should prepare to live there a long time. But God would not leave them there forever. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. When you and I call on God, when you pray to Him, He will listen. When we seek Him, we will find Him. If God didn't care about us, what purpose would there be in asking Him for anything? Asking God for help should always remind us that our Father loves us. We matter to God, and He wants to give us a future and a hope. Please turn to Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31. Now, don't expect your life to always be easy. Don't expect Christianity to be a bed of roses. Expect that some people will hate the things that you believe. Expect that some people will despise everything that you stand for. Expect it, but don't be afraid of it. That's the lead-in to these verses. Matthew 10:29. Are not 2 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, or for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Your life is not random. Don't ever let anyone tell you any different. Don't let someone who has no hope steal yours away. Not everything that happens to you is a direct result of God's specific intervention. Does God care if you wear Hanes or Fruit of the Loom? I seriously doubt it. I mean, it's underwear. Just buy the 5-pack and go. As long as it doesn't have one of those stupid, annoying tags, you're okay. But if God knows when a single bird falls, your Father knows what's happening to you. And He cares about you. God cares about your life, no matter what you're going through. There is no part of your life that doesn't matter to God. Your Father cares about your life from start to finish. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That's what it says in Psalm 116. You matter to God. And your prayers should always remind you of that. Please turn finally to Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. Do we worry about things? Yep. Does that motivate us to go to God and ask for help? Yep. But this life and all its cares, those are not God's primary concern. Please remember that when you make your requests to God. Luke 12 and verse 22. Then He said to His disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit of stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God has a purpose for you. Everything He does in your life is with that purpose in mind. And our goal is to reach the point where everything that we do and everything that we pray for is with that same purpose in mind. Ask God for the things that you need every day. But don't forget to ask Him to help you seek first the kingdom. And when you do, remember that you matter to your Father in heaven. When you pray to God, you are going to get some of the things you ask for. But we shouldn't expect to get everything we ask for. Not everything that we ask for is good for us. Sometimes a yes won't be bad for us, but a no is better. And we can't always see that in the moment. But if not now, one day, if we are faithful, we will thank God for not giving us everything we ask for. Now, we should be careful to examine our motives. If the things we request are for selfish gain, He's not going to give them to us. But even though God says no, there are plenty of reasons to ask. Even Jesus Christ got a no. But He knew when He asked that His Father had a plan for Him. And our Father has a plan for us. When you pray, remember, no matter what happens, everything God does, the yeses and the noes, are all for the purpose of His good pleasure in finishing that plan.